welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
Drumroll, please. It's Ariel. I hope CJ puts in a drumroll for you. So this week we are doing recommendations once again, and we're doing them a little differently. But before I tell you about that, I wanted to do a quick reminder for a couple of the things that we have going on. As you may remember, last week had many things, many updates, many pieces of news. So our mug, the award mug that Ariel so graciously designed and came up with and conceptualized and, you know, sold it to us. That mug is still available for purchase. It's only going to be available for a week or two longer. I don't know exactly what day it is right now when this episode is coming out, but you've got some time. Mm-hmm. It's a limited time offer, and we will be ordering however many people pre-order, basically. Yes. So you've still got some time to do that, and we'll let you know what the time limit is in the show notes. I just don't know.
I mean, basically think about it by the end of July. I'd say people have about July to make this decision, and we're going to order it probably the last week of July. So the sooner you buy it, the better. And we're only going to do this once. The link is in the show notes if you want to buy it. But this is your chance. If you don't buy it now, you're never going to buy it.
Exactly. And similarly, we have another limited time offer going on our Patreon. We have a special offer in place where if you join our Patreon in this month of July, by July 31st, you will gain access to our crazy giant reading vlog / feature length film that we're going to be making.
Yeah.
And it'll be premiering on August 1st. We're going to be doing a live show and watching it, so that's going to be lots of fun. But yeah, we talked about it a lot in the last episode, so this is just a friendly little reminder that that's still going on. And yeah, if you want to join, you've still got some time to do that, so
it's gonna be fun. After we record this episode, Raylene and I are going to record the first clip of our movie.
It's gonna start. I've got my tripod set up, haven't taken that out in a long time.
Oh, amazing. Are we allowed to call it a movie? I feel like it's not a movie, but like, we're gonna record the first clip of our movie, where we're attempting we're making this ridiculously long giant vlog for the patrons. So if you want access to what is sure to be a disaster,
like, it won't be a movie, but I like calling it a movie.
Yeah, same. If you want that, this is your moment, my pals. This is your moment.
Mm-hmm. It should be lots of fun. So let's jump into our recommendations. This week, we decided to kind of flip the script a little bit, because for the past little while, doing recommendations has started to become a little bit difficult for us, because we have talked about all of the books that we have enjoyed already. We've even recommended some books that we don't enjoy at times because of pure desperation. And in the past, we have also recommended books that we haven't read.
Occasionally. And, it's rare.
Occasionally.
It's rare, yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't happen very often because we try not to. But today, we've decided to do exclusively recommendations for books we haven't read. We have tried to pick the recommendation requests to kind of accommodate that. So hopefully people don't get mad. But yes. I think this is going to make it a much more interesting episode. I feel like rejuvenated because I have so many weird and like new books to talk about.
Yes.
So it's really exciting. And then, you know, who knows, maybe we'll end up reading these books. I probably will, because I discovered some really weird stuff that I think will be really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hopefully this episode turns out well, and we're hoping to maybe do this every once in a while, just to kind of add some spark, add some pep in our step. So we're trying it out today, and without further ado, let us jump in to the recommendations.
Wow, it's happening.
So I'm going to start with one that I chose. So this one comes from Eva, and she says, "Hi, I've been thinking about how you both want to read more translated fiction this year. So I was wondering, if you had to pick a Dutch book to read, as in the language, what would it be? It'd be cool to get an outsider's perspective on my mother tongue. Thanks. Love from Belgium." I thought this was super fun, and it works perfectly for books we haven't read, because obviously we have to pick a book that we haven't read yet.
Yes.
I don't think I've read any translated Dutch books, though. Maybe I have. I can't remember.
Gosh, yeah. I just keep thinking about The Fault in Our Stars, which doesn't count even a little bit. I just keep thinking about the part that's in Amsterdam.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. It's funny, though. I was thinking about it the entire time. I was trying to come up with something for this as well. So
right?
I'm really curious. What book did you pick for this?
Well, I picked the first book that came into my mind. So I actually didn't read. Like, I did look up some stuff, you know? Like, I poked around. But I wasn't seeing anything that was like sparking joy right away. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with the first book that I thought of. And that's The Dinner by Herman Koch.
Oh, yeah. I've read that. So I guess I have read a Dutch book.
Oh, there you go.
I read that many years ago. I always forget that I read that.
Did you like it?
I liked it, but didn't love it.
Okay.
I felt like it just needed a little something more. Mm. But it was a very interesting concept. And it's a really well done kind of like low-key thriller. Because like it's about this family, like two couples who are like the men are brothers and then their wives, basically. And they come together to have a dinner to talk about what happened between their kids. Like they both have sons, I think, both couples. And something happened. And so throughout the night, more is unpacked to like find out what exactly happened. So it is a very clever and like well done kind of concept. So I think the concept is really great. But I didn't fully connect with the book, but it is a cool book. So I definitely would recommend that you read it. It's something that I think you would like.
So here's the situation with this book. Okay. When I was living in Honduras in 2012/2013, I bought this book there because I found it at a bookshop, and it was hard to find English books there. I just found it hard to, like, there just wasn't that many around, and especially like ones that I was excited about.
Yeah.
So I saw this one. It had a really cool cover, and I thought it sounded cool. It wasn't the cover with the lobster. I really don't like that cover.
Yeah. It's not a good one.
It's a cover with like a dinner plate.
Like with the burn hole?
No.
Oh.
Well, yes, actually, yes, yes, yes. That is the one. But yeah, I was like, this is a cool book. I'll give it a shot. I purchased it, took it home, didn't read it for a long time, tried reading it, and I got like a quarter of the way in. And I was like, I'm not hating this, but I'm a bit bored. And so I stopped reading it. I then, you know, how long has it? It's been like 8 years. God damn it. I'm so old. It scares me. but yeah, like it was a few years later. This was like a couple years ago. I was going through my books and I was like trying to donate books away.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You've never read this. You never gave it another shot. Let's definitely donate it. I donated it. I don't have it anymore. But I still think about it all the time.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm still like, wait a minute. I sort of want to give that book a shot, actually. But like, I'm not motivated enough to actually buy it again.
Use your library card.
You're right. This would be a perfect library moment.
I got it from the library when I read it.
So maybe it's a tradition. I'm not like super motivated to read it, but I still think about it all the time. That's why I wanted to bring this one up, because it's sort of in a unique situation. I have a couple of books like this where I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever read that. I'm definitely like, if you ask me, do you want to read that book this year? I'd be like, no, of course not. And I'm like, do you want to read that next year? I'm like, no, probably not. No. But like, do you want to read it? Yeah, I think so, maybe one day. But I'm like, but not, no. Like, I feel like I'm never going to read it. But it doesn't feel like a mashed potato book to me, because I donated it. And, you know, I'm not, like, itching to read it. I don't think it's going to be.
There's no urgency.
No, there's no urgency. I don't think it's going to be, like, a favorite book. For some reason, it is in the back of my mind. Like.
Yeah. It's a pretty quick read.
That's good to know.
To be fair, I read most of it in one night, I think.
Okay,
so
cool.
If you ever do get your hands on it, I'd say just burrow yourself into a blanket and just read this book. Just knock it off your list.
I also see that there's a movie about it. Did you know that? Did you see that adaptation?
I did. And I think I felt pretty much the same as I did about the book. Where it was like, it was pretty, you know, in the middle of the road. Like a good adaptation of the book for what it is. But
yeah. Well, there you go. But I mean, I'm not sure about that. Will I ever read it? I don't know. But it is a book I sort of want to read. I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you pick?
Well, I picked a book that I actually discovered because it was longlisted for the International Booker Prize this year. It wasn't shortlisted, so it wasn't one of the ones we've talked about.
Okay.
But when I looked at the long list a while back and was like, ooh, what's this? And it's Dutch, obviously. So this one is called Summer Brother by Yap Robin.
Whoa, cool name.
I'm not sure if I'm saying the name right, but It's very cool. It has a really cool cover. You should look it up. It's very bold colors and just like giant font.
What was the name again?
Summer Brother. So this one, I'm just kind of looking at the Goodreads here. This one is a kind of a coming of age, like almost borders on young adult. I'm not sure if it actually is qualifies as young adult fiction, but that's what Goodreads tells me. Because the main character is a 13-year-old boy named Brian.
Okay.
And he lives in a trailer on a forgotten patch of land with his divorced and uncaring father, which is really sad. And his older brother, whose name is Lucien, is physically and mentally disabled and has been institutionalized for years. But then something happens and Lucien and his brother Brian end up living together, and the dad kind of leaves them alone. And so the one brother has to kind of take care of his other brother, but he doesn't really know how to take care of him because hasn't really grown up with him. And so it's kind of a... It says recommended for people who enjoyed Rain Man, the movie. And I do really like that movie. So I feel like that could really resonate with me. And I love coming of age stories. And the main character is really young, like 13 is quite young. So I feel like that could make for a very interesting book. So, and you know how much I love prizes. So this one was long listed for the prize. That also adds some incentive for me to read it, but I think it sounds really cool, and I haven't heard anything about it, so it's...
No, me neither. I looked up the cover. It's beautiful. Those are the colors I want to paint my living room. Not that bright of a pink.
I was like, that's extreme.
A pale pink, but I want to do it like pink, yellow, with a little bit of green.
Well, perfect. That's beautiful. Okay, how about you read me one of the recommendations that you picked?
All right, so here it is. This one I'm excited about, from Matilde. I feel the same way about series as Ariel does. I'm not alone. But I still like reading them. Lol. So maybe she feels a little different than me. A very big problem for myself is when I start a new series, I'm always terrified I will miss the release of the next books in the series and then never be able to read at all. Because of all this, I'm looking for good series that came out a few years ago, making it so all the books in the series have been published and so I don't have to wait for them to come out and I can binge them. Love from Quebec. So, here's the situation. I thought this would be a fun one because, like Raylene said at the top of the pod, today we're doing books we haven't read. And so when we were filtering through all of our things, we were looking for, like, what are fun categories that we could choose from. And we thought it would be fun to each pick a series that we think sounds good and sounds like something people would enjoy that we haven't read. And I think this is really fun. I will just caveat here, Matilde understands, but maybe nobody else does. I have a really bad track record with series. I am just, I don't know what it is really. I'm just trying to think about what is it? Why don't I like them? I guess, I mean, it really goes with why I like short books. I love a book that is succinct and to the point. I like it when an author's like, I have an idea. Here is the idea. Thank you for spending 150 pages with me. Please go back to your day-to-day life. I like that. When a book is really long, and I'm not saying there aren't exceptions, obviously, but when a book is really long, I'm like, did you need this many pages to tell this story? Sometimes you do. I'm like, with Makioka Sisters, it's like a whole saga, so maybe you did need that many pages, right? But I hate it when things feel like they're dragging, and a lot of series feel like that for me. A lot of them, I'm like, you just stretch this out. You just stretched it so you could have more
like
books.
The second book sometimes has no meaning at nothing. All. Nothing. It's just a setup.
It could have just not happened. Book. It could have been like a chapter at the end of book one and a chapter at the start of book three.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, come on, guys. You're killing me here. but I also have this problem where, like, if I read the first book in a series and I don't automatically have the second book to go, like, within a few months, I feel like by the time the second one comes out, I'm supposed to reread the first one, and then it's a whole freaking thing, and I'm just like, nah, man, nah. It's
I'm the same way, because I have such a bad memory for books. Like, I usually forget the details of a book, like, within a year of reading it. Like, I forget quite, like, the big details, And so if a second book comes out, I'll be like, but I don't remember who that person is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember who that character is and why they're important and what they did. And like, there's just like a disconnect for me. So I'm the same way. I would have to reread the books unless I feel deeply connected to the book. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I like series though. I don't read them that much anymore.
Yeah.
But as a teen, I definitely was into them.
So what did you pick?
So the series that I want to recommend is one that I have been meaning to read for a long time. And you and I actually both own the first book. Neither of us has read it
Uh-oh.
Yet. But yeah, it's going to become a mashed potato book for both of us. But maybe we can all read it together, you, me, and Mathilde. And that is Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood, the Adam trilogy. These books have been out for a while now, so they're very easily accessible, pretty easy to find, which I think is part of the recommendability. And it's kind of like a plague book, a little bit, a series. It's dystopian, it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
There's lots of kind of crazy sci-fi stuff going on from what I understand. And what I think is really cool is the main character, like, I always get myself confused when I try and think about it because I haven't read the book, but the main character is like a different person at the beginning than he is like at the end, and it kind of like goes back and forth between the timelines, and then you realize that they're the same person, and it's like, whoa, what happened?
Jesus.
So that's really cool. His name is Jimmy. Yeah, it says his name is also Snowman. Snowman, known as Jimmy before mankind was overwhelmed by a plague, is struggling to survive in the world. He may be the last human. So that's kind of interesting. I'm like, why was he used to be known as Jimmy and now he's Snowman. So I think it goes back and forth between the two timelines to kind of bring you to a place where you see what happened. And yeah, I've just been really itching to read this book lately. I actually have it on like, I have a pile of books right over there that are the books I hope to read this summer, and Oryx and Crake is one of them. So I think it just sounds like a really cool series. The first one came out in 2003, so it's like kind of old-ish. And so I feel like it's one that would be kind of fun to maybe bring back.
bring
it back from 2003.
We were 9 when that book came out.
That is insane. That's truly insane.
Oh, God.
Well, what book did you pick?
Well, it's funny because I actually didn't think about that one. I thought about that one. But I ended up going with this one. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. But it is Outline by Rachel Cusk.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that that's a series.
Yeah. So I was, God, I really think it was Greece. I really, really think it was Greece. But something tells me it might have been London. I'm not sure. I was in Europe. And I bought Transit by Rachel Cusk because I'd heard so many good things about her. And so many good things about her writing and so many good things about this trilogy. And so I bought it, came home, and realized it was the second book in the trilogy. So I was like, God damn it. Okay, I don't want to read this. I mean, apparently you can absolutely read them out of order.
That's nice.
Like, I'm pretty sure that they have the same main character. But do they even? I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. It's one of these kind of alter... Wait, is she Canadian? What? I didn't know Rachel Cusk was Canadian.
Whoa, what's going on? Where's she from?
Okay, she lives in England. That's why. Because I thought of her as more of a British author.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Where is she born? Born in Toronto.
There you go.
Born in Toronto. All right. Fine. Oh, no, wait. She wasn't. Why is the internet lying to me? This is even more amazing.
I need to call up Rachel Cusk and say, hello, tell me what's the deal, because nobody
She was
knows.
Born in Saskatoon.
Ooh-wee.
Wow, that's rare. That's rare. I'm going to tell you what. Not a lot of people are born in Saskatoon. I have been to a great grocery store there, and I absolutely recommend that superstore. But yes, it says that her parents are British. She spent much of her early childhood in L.A. Oh. She moved to the U.K. in the 70s. It says she comes from a wealthy Catholic family. I'm learning all about her. Right. Anyway, she sounds fascinating. She sounds like she's been all over the place. I love that. That's super cool. Anyway, she is Canadian, though, so we had to claim her a little bit. Apparently, because here it says that she's won the, like, Giller Prize or something. Anyway, I feel... Yeah. Oh, no. She was nominated for the Scottish Bank Giller Prize.
What are those books about? I don't know.
Yes. Okay. About thank them. You for getting. Thank you.
I was
for
like, she's getting off track. I need to wheel her back in.
Bring her back. Bring her back. Okay. So it's about a woman who goes on a trip to Greece. So maybe that's why I bought it.
That's
in Greece.
Probably why so you're thinking about Greece.
She's in Athens, and she goes to Athens to teach a writing course during the summer because she's like a professor and a writer.
Yeah.
And it just says that like. It's supposed to sort of be like autofiction. So a little bit like this whole movement. She seems to be one of the leaders in this autofiction movement. Oh, cool. So stuff like motherhood and like Sheila Hedy and Jenny O'Dell. Nope. Jenny Awful. Jenny Awful. That's the one. Weather and Patricia Lockwood's No One Is Talking About This. Like that kind of vibe of a book. So it's a little bit like meandering and it's like more inside the mind of a character who's like having opinions and ideas and thinking, which for me is right up my alley.
Yeah, that sounds
like I said, I've heard so many good things about this series. I really want to give it a shot. And now that I bought the first book, I actually bought it at the same time that I bought Common Ground. I don't know if you remember that. But now that I have that one and I have the second one, I have no excuse.
You're almost there. You almost have a whole series ready to read.
But all the books are out, which is important. The third book in that trilogy came out in 2018. Oh, okay. So the whole trilogy is out. The last book has really good ratings, so... It seems to have maintained... it seems like people... It went up in rating every book, actually, sort of, so...
Very nice.
Anyways.
That sounds great.
I picked that one. What's the next recommendation, my pal?
Here we go. This one is very interesting. This one comes from Abby, and she says, if the two of you could fuse together, like in Steven Universe, which I've never seen, so sorry, don't get the reference, and become one mega reader, what book would you recommend to them? So basically, what book would be perfect for a combination of you and me?
Yes.
I picked a few.
Okay. I picked one. I don't think I won, though.
You didn't succeed.
I don't know if I succeeded. I started to break under the pressure. I sort of feel like it's easier to recommend books to other people because when they write us, they just give us like one line instructions. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it's like, what books do Raylene love? What books do Ariel, like what books do they love together? I'm like, I'm too inside the matrix to understand what the hell's going on.
Well, I'm really curious what you picked. You should go first.
Okay. I picked a book we have actually mentioned this on the podcast before. But I don't think either of us owns it. Was this a book old? I don't remember, but I remember you maybe talking about it.
Okay.
We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry. Do you remember this one?
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Doesn't ring a bell. Oh, I've seen that cover before, but I don't know what this is about at all.
Okay, well, the reason that I thought that this would be a mixture... It could be really good, maybe. I don't know. So basically, it seems to be a coming-of-age story.
Yeah.
That's you. Uh-huh. About sports. That's
me. That's Ariel.
So, on the synopsis, it says, set in the coastal town of Danvers, Massachusetts... which is where the Salem witch trials happened.
Oh. Well, that's another fun aspect.
Yeah, that is a fun aspect. The story follows the Danvers High field hockey team as they discover that the dark impulses of their Salem forebears may be the key to winning the season. So basically, it's this girls' team, field hockey team.
Yeah.
And I don't really know. I mean, it seems like there's like a little bit of a witchiness to it.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to kind of channel the witchiness, which I thought we would both like. It's 360 pages, so it's like about an average length book. But based on all of the reviews I read, it sounds really fun. Everyone says it's campy. Everyone's like, it's really campy, a little wacky, very unique. Mm-hmm. Somebody compared it to like Scott Pilgrim, which I was like, whoa, high praise.
Yeah.
But mainly I was just like, I really like sports books. You really like coming of age stories. Mm-hmm. And I think we both like weird books, like things that when things go a little wacky.
All the books I picked are weird books. Just
okay. So yeah. Know. So I think that we have that in common. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was good. What do you think? I don't know if you
did better than I'm about to do. You found the perfect combination, like of distinct aspects that we both like, and then added witchy stuff to it, which I think we both like an abstract kind of way.
Yes.
Like neither of us is super witchy.
I don't know. Like I was worried you would be turned off by the sports element.
Not at all. Dude, I loved Albatross.
I know. And that's why I kept it. That's why I picked it. You know what? You're making me feel confident because I do think it sounds really,
it's
really cool.
It's also set in the 80s. I forgot to mention that.
Yes, it's set a while ago. Somebody said it's, a couple of people in the comments were like, it reminds them of the show Glow. Did you ever watch that show on Netflix?
I just finished it and I'm so upset that it got canceled. And
I know, it's
more
depressing. But like, that's what I mean. Like, people were like, it's campy, it's fun, it's a little weird, it's feministy. And I was like, it sounds really, maybe we got to buddy read this one.
Yeah, and I'm looking on Goodreads. It's on a list for, you know, Emma Roberts's book club, Bellatrist. It's one of the, it's on the list. So if Emma Roberts chooses this book, that's another reason. It's another reason for me and you to want to read it. Yeah, I think.
Wow, listen to this. This is a different podcast, a feminist book club podcast, I guess. They wrote a review on Goodreads. It says, if Now and Then, Pretty in Pink, and Practical Magic all had a baby who grew up to play field hockey, it would be this book.
It sounds seriously good. I really actually love it. And it came out in paperback in February, so we can get the paperback, and it's pink.
Okay, that was something I was waiting. The reason, because I heard about this book a few months ago, and this is why it was on my radar. This is why I was like, wait a minute, wasn't there like a book? Well, this what came into my head. Mm-hmm. But I think I didn't buy it back then because it wasn't out in paperback yet.
Right.
And now it is.
Oh, maybe we should buy it. Ooh.
I'm going to visit Connor's family in a while because we're all double vaccinated. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! We will be. I'm getting my second vaccine by the time I go. I will have it. So awesome. Don't worry, everyone. Be safe. Keep your masks on. Follow the rules. But when I'm over there, I feel like I'm going to be in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So they have good bookshops. Maybe that's my moment to find.
Yeah,
this book.
It's more fun. It is more fun when you can find the book in the wild instead of ordering.
Yeah, it really is.
I love that. Oh man, makes me want to go book shopping. Anyway, we're getting off track here again. I am going to tell you the books that I picked for us.
Okay,
so I picked three because there was like a few different directions that this could go in. But I didn't do it in like as precise of a way that you did. So I think these are just books that we would both enjoy. As they are. So the first one. I kind of teased this in the last episode. The New Me by Hallie Butler. So you just picked up Jillian by Hallie Butler.
That's funny.
And this one I think seems kind of similar. I found this one because I started with my year of rest and relaxation. I was like, this is a book that appeals very much to both of us. So I'm like, what's a book that is kind of similar to this? And I came across The New Me. What I also find interesting is that it has a very low average rating. So either it is very polarizing for some reason, or maybe it's just not that good. But at the same time, I'm very interested in reading it. So it's about a woman named Millie who's 30, and she works in just kind of like a regular old temp office job doing nothing exciting. And she's just kind of living her life. Goes home, watches TV, falls asleep, and then goes to work again the next day. And that's all she does. She lives a very kind of bland life, which reminds me of my year of rest and relaxation quite a bit, like for different reasons. But like, she's just unhappy, you know, she's an unhappy 30-year-old woman. And then something happens. What is it? So, of course, something is going to go down. She gets an offer or a possibility to get a full-time job. And so she gets kind of excited about that. But then I wonder if she actually does it or if she's too scared. Who knows? So it's kind of, you know, just a nice mundane type of book. But apparently it's darkly hilarious. Sounds kind of spooky.
Yeah, that's why I got the other one I got, Jillian.
Yeah.
It sounds very similar, really, actually.
Yeah, I want to read both of them now.
What if I read this one and you read that one? And then we can let each other know what we think.
That's a really fun idea. We should probably do that. Okay, the next one I picked is called Turbulence by David Salay. It's S-Z-A-L-A-Y, so I don't know if I'm saying that right. This one also has a very cool cover. It actually has many different covers. But this one is 160 pages, so that's an aerial aspect. It is short stories. It's Canadian. Oh, okay. And it's basically a series of short stories about people who meet each other on transit. I'm not sure if all of them are on a plane, but it's called Turbulence because basically people are on a plane and there's some turbulence and it makes people get to know each other quickly. Yeah. It's kind of, there's lots of travel. Yeah, okay, I'm just reading on Goodreads a little bit more. There's 12 flights from London to Madrid, Dakar to Sao Paulo, to Toronto, to Delhi, etc. Lots of different places. Mm. People who are on their way to something. And then they have interactions with people that are on the plane with them. So it's kind of like a study in humanity, I guess. And like, you know, just what it's like to just, you know, talk to strangers and learn about them. Yeah. So it sounds kind of meditative and nice. And it's short stories and it's very short. So I think that it sounds appealing to both of our sensibilities.
That sounds awesome. Last
book. Yeah, I think it sounds really cool. And then the last one I picked is definitely the weirdest of the bunch, but I think you'll see why it seems appealing to us, because it sounds a little bit similar to another book we've read. It's called Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder. And this one, you gotta look up the cover for this one.
I'll do it. I'm looking.
You gotta look. It is
Crazy typing this in.
Night Bitch. Here. It's all one word.
It's one word. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one is about a woman who, she's an artist turned stay-at-home mom. That's a great
cover.
Isn't really, that great? It's got a bunch of raw meat. Cover. Raw meat that, on the cover, everyone.
Just raw meat, and it's red, and it's...
Yeah.
She's got a beautiful manicure.
Yeah, yikes. It's very striking. And this one is kind of short, too. It's 256 pages. And it hasn't quite come out yet. It comes out this month, so that's kind of exciting. But this one, yeah, it's about a woman who is an artist turned stay-at-home mom who becomes convinced that she's turning into a dog. So, has a kid, and then a couple of years later, she discovers a dense patch of hair on the back of her neck. And she looks at her teeth, and her teeth seem like they're sharper and longer than they used to be. And her husband works away, so she spends a lot of time like by herself with the baby. And so her imagination can kind of run wild. So she starts to think that she's a dog. And this, to me, reminds me a little bit of The Vegetarian.
That's what I was literally about to say. Yeah. I was like, when Raylene stops saying the thing she's saying, I'm going to talk about The Vegetarian.
This sounds like a different take on that kind of story.
That sounds really cool.
So I think it seems really cool, really weird. The last line of the Goodreads synopsis says, "You should howl as much as you want." Pardon me. So this one, I think, is going to be like kind of twisted, kind of dark, kind of funny, kind of a mixture of all the things. Jenny Lawson likes it. So
I know. I was seeing that on Goodreads myself. Thing. Yeah, that's funny. Gosh, that sounds like a cool book. Yeah, okay, yeah, we did different angles. You just found like cool books that you thought we'd both like, and I was more like, what is a thing Raylene likes? What is a thing one. I like? Yeah. Put them together.
Yeah, I kind of just went wild and found a bunch of books, and I'm sure there's many more that we could find.
But I love that, though. Yeah. That's really cool. Gosh.
I definitely think we should buddy read the one you picked, because that one was excellent.
Yeah, I think it sounds really fun, and I feel like it does kind of combine us well.
It really, that's really does.
Fun. Well, I guess I should read the last one.
Yes, bring it on.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm really excited about this one because we get a form of this question a lot, actually. Mm. And we've answered it before, and it's a tricky question. So we can't really keep doing it because it's very specific. So this one comes from Alina. I recently finished the Illuminae files and really loved the alternative formatting they used. Having it in files, the text sometimes inverted or swirled, etc. Do you know of any other books with creative formatting like that? Love the podcast! Highlight of my week! Well, thank you, Alina. That's very, very nice. Yes. So we're both going to pick a book that we haven't read before that has some form of alternative formatting that would be fun. What did you pick? I'm curious.
I found three that sound really cool.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
So the first one is one, I'll start with the one that's probably more widely known. That one is Horror Store by Grady Hendrix.
Yes, so, I remember that one.
Yeah, this is the one that is made to look like an IKEA catalog, which I think is so fun. And it actually is about an IKEA-like store called Orsk. And it's basically an exact replica of IKEA. But the idea is that, like, late at night, weird stuff starts happening in the store. Like, the workers will come in the morning and, like, a glass will be broken or, like, a bookshelf will have fallen over and stuff. And so a bunch of people volunteer to stay in the store for that, like, 9 or 8 hour period, whatever, that's the middle of the night. And then weird stuff starts to happen. Apparently it's kind of funny, but it's also a horror. So it's kind of wacky and weird, but the whole thing is like looks like a catalog and there's pictures and like descriptions for the items. So it seems like kind of a weird book, but kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah, it seems awesome. I actually used to own it and I ended up donating it.
I've almost bought it so many times.
Yeah.
It's just like it's so appealing to me and I just want it. But I'm like, will it be really good enough? Like I worry that it's... I don't know. The next two I found are a little bit more weirdly formatted than Horror Store. That one I feel like is just a little bit strange in terms of format, but I found some really cool ones through my research. Mm. So the first one I wanted to talk about is called Multiple Choice by Alejandro Zambra. This is actually a translated from... what language? The author is Chilean, so that's cool. Really cool. And this came out in 2014. Basically, the whole thing is formatted like a multiple choice test. It's a standardized test. I don't know exactly what that means or how that it translates to a story, but actually I found kind of a blurb that somebody wrote. Let me see what it says here. Written in the form of a standardized test, multiple choice invites the reader to respond to virtuoso language exercises and short narrative passages through thought-provoking, usually unanswerable multiple choice questions. It offers a new kind of reading experience, one in which the reader participates directly in the creation of meaning and the nature of storytelling itself is called into question. So that sounds pretty cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, the last one I found sounds so crazy. So this book is called The Mystery Dot Doc. Like, it's meant to look like it's a document. Yeah. It's 1,600 pages long.
Oh, God, no.
But this is why. This is why. So I'll read another blurb that I found online. Pop-up ads, internet search results, spam, lines of code, frames of film and television mix with canonical works of literature, alchemical manuscripts, transcripts of personal conversations, and the story of a man who wakes up one morning not knowing who he is. A blank document called the Mystery Dot Doc newly appeared on his computer. So it's like this giant kind of weird package of like tons of different formats, like overwhelmingly different formats almost. And this book gets kind of mixed reviews, but the people who love it really love it. Because I think it's like it's poetic and, you know, it's kind of weird to look at, but it is telling a deeper story. But it's so long. Like I don't think I've ever seen a 1600 page book. You know?
I can't even imagine it.
But I looked it up and my library has this book. So I think I'm going to try it out sometime.
Oh, dear God. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be that hard to read it, right?
Because I think some of the pages are blank. I think there's genuinely a lot of blank pages. One review was like, why do there need to be 5 pages in a row of just asterisks?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a reason for it, but maybe not. this one seems, it's like very experimental. So I think that it could potentially be very, very interesting.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. What did you find? I'm really curious.
Well, this is a big question. This question is a big question because obviously there's a lot of different ways that something can be formatted differently. Mm-hmm. And so I have two, one that I own, one that I don't own, and I found out about during this research. Oh, cool. So the first one that I own is Romeo and or Juliet by Ryan North. Have you seen this one?
I have. It's very pretty.
Yeah, it is really pretty. So I remember that I was I don't know where I was. I was at, like, at a bookshop, and I saw this, and I was so excited by the name of it. It just seemed like such a fun Romeo and or Juliet. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah, I love it.
And so this is a choose-your-own-adventure book. Wow. I just keep finding out everyone's Canadian, apparently. I just was scrolling on the Goodreads for the book, and Ryan North is from Ottawa. That's really cool. But yeah, so this is a choose-your-own-adventure book. When I was a kid, my mom had a bunch of choose-your-own-adventure books that she would read to me and my brother. And it was always so much fun because obviously it would be like Cinderella, but choose-your-own-adventure. And so we would be like, no, she should do this. No, she should do that. And it was like, I don't know. It was just like a fun activity. And so when I think of choose your own adventure books, I have this like really pure, sweet memory in my mind. And that's why I think I was so excited about this book. Yeah, like reading through the reviews, it has a very good rating, a 3.91. Like that's it has really high rating. And I think it's just because people have fun with it. Like I think people are just like, yeah, this isn't like brilliant, but it's really fun.
I've heard that some of the endings are like completely ridiculous, like it's not even something that would ever happen in a Shakespeare play, but it makes it fun.
I mean, like one review from someone gave it 1 star, and I was like, whoa, why, how would you hate it? And she says, I think I'm really bad at choose your own adventure type books. My decisions almost always lead me to an early death. Okay. So it just seems like it's more of like an event than it is a book almost. Do you know what I mean?
That's really
I think it feels like fun. I still haven't read it. I've had it on my shelves for a really long time, but I still really want to give that a shot. The other book, when I was looking like stuff up just to see if there was something out there, I found out about this book, and it just sounds like I would really, really like it, but it's not that weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it fully counts, but it's incredible name. It's called Speedboat by Renata Adler.
Okay.
So this was published in 1967.
Ooh.
It won a lot of awards back in its time, and it, like on the Goodreads thing it says like one of the most acclaimed novels of the 20th century.
Wow.
So I think this was a big deal in the 70s in the literary fiction world.
Yeah.
It's about a woman who works at a newspaper, like as a newspaper reporter in New York City. But it's told completely without any plot. There's no plot whatsoever. It's like a series of vignettes.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no plot, there's no story, there's no like thing that's guiding the whole thing forward. It says where did I see it? I don't know. Somewhere it said it was like partly journal, partly dream, like partly conversation bits, like all of these different little commonplace book, like all these different little pieces that together more seem to build like a vibe and seem to build like a mood, and actually kind of sounds a little bit like auto fiction, doesn't it? Proto auto.
Speedboat.
I love that. Maybe I just am obsessed with the name Speedboat. I just think that is amazing. So yeah, I mean, the synopsis says it remains as fresh as when it was first published. So there you go. I actually definitely want to read this. It's only 190 pages.
Awesome.
And the vignettes are supposed to be quite short. Some people were saying it sort of feels like poetry. It sort of feels like short story. That's like cool. It doesn't really feel like a novel, do you know what I mean? But it is a novel, like it is a novel, quote-unquote novel. Oh, this person calls it slant autobiography.
What does that mean?
My god. I think it sounds really cool. So yeah, I'm actually for sure gonna buy this. It sounds awesome. And you and me have to buy We Ride on Sticks. I was like, why is it called that? Like, I guess because field hockey, you play with a stick.
But also because the witch aspect. But we ride on,
like, a witch? Oh, I was like, oh,
as soon
God.
As you said that, it clicked in my mind. I was like, oh, that's really clever.
I don't know why it took me so long, but yeah, it sounds, I don't know, I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
I really want
to
buy
this. This was fun, really, and I think it worked. It was fun to, like, find books we haven't read yet.
I think so too, because it made me like investigate and find books that I hadn't even heard of before mm-hmm. yesterday, which is really mm-hmm. fun. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope the people enjoyed it. Let us know what you guys thought of this episode, if we should do it again. We're probably going to do it again because we had a lot of fun. Yes. But I hope that you guys enjoyed it at the same time and want to hear more. So that was awesome. We are now off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket. And this week, I decided to come up with a very simple question for us to talk about. What are the best summer reads? What books do we think are great summer reads? And I just felt like it was a timely question.
Yeah.
So people can suggest some summer books to us in the comments and hopefully find some cool stuff from us. So we're off to go record that. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.